In ancient Hebrew culture, names carried great significance. They might refer to an individual's personality, relate to an event surrounding a person's birth, or indicate a way that God would use a child's life. A name conveyed the very character and the nature of the person, and in this sermon, I want to notice some things about the wonderful name of Jesus and how we can take the name of Jesus wherever we go. Well, first of all, we notice that the name of Jesus is an exalted name. As the Son of God, Jesus was the most exalted person to walk this earth. Therefore, his name is above every other name. As we read in our text from Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul explains that one day every knee will bow to honor our Savior. Jesus humbled himself and left heaven's glory to die upon the cross for mankind, but now he has been received back into heaven. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 2. There it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then we read in Hebrews 1, verse 6, and again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. We sing that wonderful song, all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Well, we also see that the name of Jesus has salvation. The name of Jesus is the only name in which there is salvation. We read in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then Matthew 1, verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We see that Abraham, Moses, Joshua, and Elijah stand out in prominence, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ stands out in preeminence. Galatians 1, verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Salvation is found in the name of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was willing to endure all things for the elect's sake, that they might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory, 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. We must do whatever it takes to enter into Christ. For in Jesus Christ is where salvation is found. It is found in him only and no one else. Well, the name of Jesus is a powerful name. Peter and John, when speaking to the crippled man at the beautiful gate, said, such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, when confronted with a young girl with an evil spirit, said, I command thee in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And then Mark 16, verse 17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with tongues. Ah, yes, people, there is great power in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Well, how do we take the name of Jesus? We can take the name of Jesus by being in Christ. Notice that familiar passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, it is apparent that one cannot take the name of Jesus Christ. Now, listen, people, one cannot take the name of Jesus Christ without being in Christ. Now, it seems that everybody today has a different idea of what it means to be a Christian, as there are various beliefs and philosophies throughout our world today. Well, the Bible records a story about some people who were actually called Christians. And, of course, in having that name, they were taking the name of Jesus with them in every way. Well, today I want to talk about the things that happened in the lives of these people that allowed them to be the first ones to wear that great name of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about how important it is for those very same things to happen in our lives today as we become Christians and are called Christians and are taking the name of Jesus with us in our lives. When discussing things related to religion, one doesn't have to talk very long before the word Christian is used. People might refer to a Christian nation or a Christian society, or perhaps a certain individual as being a good Christian man or woman. Countries around the world refer to the United States as being a Christian nation with the idea that many other nations are not such. We talk about going to a Christian church or belonging to a Christian religion. Well, I ask the question, have you ever thought what it really means to be a Christian? In the Bible, the word Christian is used only 3 times. And in every case, of course, where it is used, it is found in the New Testament. Well, the Bible never uses the word Christian to refer to a nation or country. So in reality, of course, the United States is not a Christian nation. It is always used to refer to individual people. There are certain things that take place within those people's lives that entitle them to wear that name. And today I want us to look at some passage or notice a passage of Scripture from the New Testament book of Acts. And from this passage, I want us to notice what takes place in the lives of these people in order for them to take that name, for them to take the name wherever they go, for them to have the name Christian in their life. But before we get to that passage in Acts chapter 11, I want to set the background in Acts chapter 6 and 7. Now, in these 2 chapters, we read about a man named Stephen. And Stephen was filled with wisdom and the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Now, he did many miraculous signs and he had a wonderful reputation among the people. But there were those who opposed him. They opposed Stephen and the good works that he went about doing. Well, he was arrested. He was put into prison. And he was accused of speaking bad things against God. Well, Stephen tried to defend himself against these charges, but of course, there was no success. The ruling authorities in the city of Jerusalem dragged him outside of town, and they beat him severely, and then they stoned him to death. And as a result of Stephen's persecution and death, many who believed in Jesus, like Stephen did, feared for their lives, and they left the city of Jerusalem. Now, we want to notice that they didn't leave the city of Jerusalem and not go anywhere and say anything. That wasn't what they did. They left the city of Jerusalem, and they were scattered in various places. They were scattered into places like Judea and Samaria. And some of them even traveled several hundred miles to the north. And it's here that we pick up our story in Acts chapter 11. Now, I want to begin with reading this passage in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. So if you want to turn over in your Bible there and follow along, that's Acts chapter 11, beginning at verse 19 and reading through verse 26. Now listen here and pay attention to what is said. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that they with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the church. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves in the church, and they taught much people. And listen, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So right here is where they were first called Christians. Now up until this time, the message of Jesus had only been shared with the Jews except for a few instances. Now the word of the Lord was reaching into the Gentile, or is reaching into the Greek world as well. And some of the people who witnessed Stephen's stand for the Lord back in Jerusalem, they got out of town. But I want you to notice when they got out of town, they didn't run and hide. They didn't go somewhere and then not say anything about their beliefs. but rather they told people about their beliefs. They weren't embarrassed about what God had done in their lives. Now, people, I'll tell you what, that's what I call taking the name of Jesus with you. If you're not embarrassed of what Jesus says, if you're not embarrassed to be a follower of him, then that's taking the name of Jesus with you. They were not ashamed to speak for Jesus Christ. These people traveled all the way to the city of Antioch, and they began telling the story of Jesus to the people that were located in that town. Now, meanwhile, the Jewish church back in Jerusalem, they heard about what was going on up there in Antioch, and they were excited about what was happening, and they sent one of their most trusted disciples, Barnabas, to investigate what was going on. Now, when Barnabas arrived at Antioch, he saw for himself the great and the wonderful things that were taking place. And he was glad about what he saw. And he encouraged these disciples to remain true to the Lord with all of their heart. He went into the city of Tarsus, some 200 miles back to the east, looking for a man named Saul. Now, we know, of course, that Saul is mentioned in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, as one of the men who was part of that group who had put Stephen to death. There it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, by this time, Saul was a changed man. In fact, his name was about to be his change as well. He was about to be called Paul instead of Saul. Now, you're probably familiar with how he met the Lord on that Damascus Road. That Damascus Road experience is talked about in Acts chapter 9. He was then led into the city, and a man named Ananias taught and baptized this new servant of the Lord. And after his conversion experience, Paul spent some time thinking about the missionary work that God wanted him to do. And eventually Saul went back to his hometown of Tarsus. And that's where Barnabas found him some 8 years later. Together, they went back into the city of Antioch, and they began teaching all the people who were coming to the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was on that occasion in the city of Antioch that these disciples of Jesus, for the very first time, were called Christians. What was it that brought about that name? What set apart these people in Antioch from everybody else? What made them different? And why were they called Christians? Well, I believe the answer to those questions are found in this passage that we just read. First of all, we notice from verse 21 that the Lord's hand was upon them. It was upon all of them and all those who shared the message. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that the Lord gave his approval to this whole process. The people were guided. They shared the message. And the Lord opened the hearts of those who heard it. And as a result, the people in Antioch received Jesus Christ. They obeyed him. These people were reunited with the Lord after sin and disobedience had separated them from the presence of God for many, many years. Now they had the opportunity to be a part of God's family. They now had the privilege to become one of his children. Jesus made the following statement in John 6, verse 44. No man could come to me except the Father, which have sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Well, evidently, these people in the city of Antioch were drawn to the Lord. They were drawn to the Lord by the message of Jesus Christ. He wanted them to receive the gospel message of salvation. God's hand was upon them, and they had the opportunity, the wonderful opportunity, to not only hear about, but also to respond to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now, it's our hope that all men, upon hearing the message of Jesus Christ, will realize that it is time for them to make a decision for him or against him. They will realize that he purchased their salvation, and they will know the importance of putting their faith in him and being baptized in him and being united with God. And evidently, that's what happened with these people in the city of Antioch. They took advantage of the opportunity that was presented to them, and they responded to the Lord's call to be saved. And people, they took the name of Jesus. They took the name of Jesus wherever they went. Now, the second thing that happened in the lives of these believers is that allowed them to wear the name of Christian is that it's found also in verse 21. We notice there that the great numbers of people believed in and turned to the Lord. Now, what is the significance of that? Well, it's simply this. They no longer believed in their own ideas and their own efforts for salvation. Now, they now believed in God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. These people recognized what God had done for them through His Son. They knew of the salvation that He offered. They believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They believed that He came down from heaven, He lived upon this earth, and He died a cruel, humiliating death upon the cross. They recognized that after being buried in a tomb, that He arose from that grave, victoriously from that grave on the third day. And now, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, that is a gospel message that was the most important message the Apostle Paul shared throughout his ministry. Listen to what he says there. Pay attention. He says, "For I deliver unto you, first of all," listen there again, "I deliver unto you, first of all." That's the first thing he did. He said, this is the most important thing. And what is it? He said, "I delivered unto you first of all that which you also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures." People, that's the message right there. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And this Scripture was important to them. And it's no less important for you and me today. Through their belief in God's Son as Jesus Christ, these people there in the city of Antioch, they received salvation. In one chapter early over there in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, Peter told Cornelius that everyone who believes in him, referring to Jesus, receives forgiveness of sins through his name. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoso believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. These people in Antioch, they received the forgiveness of sin. And their whole life, their life was made whole. Something similar happened to the people in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. Let's look at that. On the day of Pentecost, Peter shared the gospel message, the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. And some 3,000 people responded to it. Can you imagine that? 3,000 people responded to it. And according to verse 38, these people were baptized, their sins were forgiven, and they received salvation. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." For what? "For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And we see it again in Acts chapter 10, verses 47 and 48, with the conversion of Cornelius. "Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Even Saul himself was baptized at his conversion in Acts 9, verse 18. "And immediately they fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." In every account in the book of Acts, when we see what someone coming to faith and obedience in Jesus Christ, we see those people becoming a Christian. We see those people taking the name of Jesus with them. Baptism. Yes, yes, baptism is a part of that process. Now, somebody asked the question, well, now, when does one receive the forgiveness of sins? Is it at belief or is it at baptism? Well, the answer is both. When one believes in Jesus and is baptized into his name, then forgiveness of sin is granted. And perhaps the best place to see that is in the familiar words of Jesus Christ in Mark 16, verse 16. I imagine everybody here could quote that passage. I hope you can. Mark 16 and 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Both belief and baptism are necessary in order to receive the forgiveness of sin and the salvation of God. Not only do these people believe in Jesus Christ, they also gave their lives to him. They no longer followed that old way of living that they had once followed. No longer did they follow their own interests and their own desires. But now they did what? They submitted themselves to Jesus Christ. These people sought out a new direction. What was that direction? Taking the name of Jesus with them. Taking the name of Jesus with them wherever they went. They turned away from their old life of sin and disobedience and selfishness. And they took the name of Jesus with them. They followed him. These people realized what so many other people throughout the centuries have realized. From Acts chapter 4 verse 12. That there is salvation in no one else. We notice that in the lives of these people in Antioch, a decision was made to make Jesus the Lord of their life. They were willing to follow his commands. They were willing to follow his teachings. They were willing to make necessary changes in their life as they turned away from their old life and they began to follow Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, people, if you're going to take the name of Jesus with you, you're going to have to make some changes in your life. There's going to be some changes made if you want to take the name of Jesus with you. Now, it might be easy for some people to believe in Jesus Christ and what he did for him upon the cross, for them upon the cross. But it takes a sincere commitment to turn one's life over to him completely. It means God's will for that person is more important than anything else. It involves making a full commitment to Jesus Christ. And when you take the name of Jesus with you, you've committed yourself fully to him. You made a decision to live for him every day, each and every day, and to represent him in whatever is said, whatever is done. In other words, when you take the name of Jesus with you, Jesus is the first priority in your life. Now, it's sometimes difficult to take the name of Jesus with you wherever you go. Many other people have done this very same thing as the early church began to grow and to expand. We find several examples of people believing in Jesus and turning to the Lord. We see it in Acts 4, verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Acts 17, verse 12, therefore many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Well, that's still God's desire today, for people to believe upon him, to believe upon his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Turn their lives over to him in submission and obedience and begin taking the name of Jesus with them wherever they go, everywhere they go. Another thing that happened in the lives of these people is found in Acts 11, verse 26. Now let's read that once again because it's important. Pay attention. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They were called Christians because they were disciples of Jesus Christ. They were called Christians because they were faithful to the Lord. They were called Christians because they were steadfast in their purpose to be devoted to the one who had brought salvation to their life. Now, we have mentioned this man, Barnabas. Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. And Barnabas did just that. He encouraged the people to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. When he saw the grace of God at work among these believers, he offered his words of support and encouragement. Their salvation brought joy into his heart as they responded to the message of salvation. Now, certainly it's important for disciples to remain faithful to the Lord today. These people are to remain faithful to Jesus Christ and to represent him in whatever is said and whatever is done. And that's exactly what happened with these people in Antioch. They continued to learn. They continued to grow as followers of the one who saved them. We see that for at least one full year, Barnabas, along with Saul, met with this great number of people, which was called the church. And in the beginning stages of the church, as the good news of Jesus spread to places like Antioch, the people were called Christians. Now, the name Christian was given to those who associated themselves with and followed Jesus. Now, make note of the fact that at first, it was primarily used in a derogatory way, in a negative way. People kind of made fun of them, laughed at them. They derided them. Oh, look at those Christians over there. The name Christian was meant to bring harm and discourage those who followed Jesus Christ. And it was done in hopes of putting an end to the spread of this religion, Christianity. The name brought about ridicule, brought about persecution, and in some cases it even brought death. But instead of having a negative effect that was intended, just the opposite of what happened is what happened. People began to wear the name of Christ. They began to wear the name of Christian proudly. They weren't ashamed. They began to take the name of Jesus with them wherever they went. They were not ashamed of what Jesus had done in their lives. They were not ashamed of the change that had come over them. And today, the name Christian is used by people all over the world, and it is given to those who follow Jesus Christ and obey his teachings. Well, there are two other places in the New Testament where the word Christian is found. One is in Acts 26, and one is in 1 Peter chapter 4. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul told King Agrippa about his own conversion to Christianity, how that he was called by God to be his witness to those people who did not know Jesus Christ. He was to open up their eyes so that they might receive the forgiveness of sin. Paul also shared with King Agrippa that he told many people about the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, and that by one's faith in him, a person could receive salvation and eternal life. And after hearing the message of the great Apostle Paul, King Agrippa responded with these words that you know, Acts 26, verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. Now, we're not told in the scriptures whether or not Agrippa became a Christian on that occasion, but probably not. Like so many other people, he was unwilling to receive Jesus Christ, to turn to him and experience God's grace and become his followers. The only other time the word Christian is found is in 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter writes to a group of both Jewish and Gentile Christians who have been scattered because of Christian persecution. He tells them these words in the 16th verse. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. There are people who suffer persecution because they take the name of Jesus with them. They suffer things that are not right. They suffer things that are unfair. And because of their faith, they're overlooked, they're ridiculed, and they are neglected. They suffer all types of things. Some even suffer to the point of losing their lives. God is aware of this, and he knows what's going on. He knows exactly what's happening. He sees the pain, he sees the problems that his people experience in their service to him. Persecution is only temporary and will not last forever. Keep in mind the words of Jesus from Revelation 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. It's wonderful, comforting to know that a crown of life, ah, yes, a crown of life is awaiting those who take the name of Jesus with them wherever they go. And as we look at these three uses of the word Christian, notice the response of the people in each story. The people in Acts chapter 11 were excited about the salvation they received. and they continued to learn and grow in their salvation. And they wanted to know more about what God had done for them. The people to whom Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, they were willing to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. They knew the reward that he would give them if they remained faithful to him and to their salvation, even if it brought about their death. And then there is Agrippa. He heard the same message that the people in Antioch heard. He had the same opportunity to obey Jesus Christ as those in Acts chapter 11 and 1 Peter chapter 4. But Agrippa chose to go a different direction. He did not think the good news, the good message of salvation was for him. He did not choose to become a Christian. And as a result of that, he chose to remain lost. Same choice is true with many people today. They continually hear and know the good message of Jesus Christ. They know about the sacrifice that he made upon the cross when he gave his life for the salvation of all mankind. But like King Agrippa, they're unwilling to give their life over to Jesus Christ. They're unwilling to believe upon God's one and only Son. We ask the question in our lesson today, what does it mean to be a Christian? And the answer from Acts chapter 11 very simply is this: believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized into his name. Turn your life over to the Lord and commit yourself to living as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. The question then is, as we close our lesson, have you done that? Have you become a Christian? Can you take the name of Jesus with you wherever you go? Have you obeyed the teachings to believe in his name? John 8, verse 24. Have you repented or turned away from your sins? Luke 13, verse 3. Are you willing to confess the name? Matthew 10, verse 32. Are you willing to be baptized for the remission of sins? Mark 16, verse 16. Are you following him as one of his faithful disciples, learning more and more about the love that God has for you and the privilege and opportunity you have to be with him someday for all eternity? My prayer today is that you will become a Christian. My prayer today for you is that you will be willing, to take the name of Jesus with you. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then with you where you go. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our soul with joy when his loving arms receive us and his songs our tongue employ. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven, we'll crown him, then our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Today, if you've not obeyed those teachings, we would urge you to